hours of sports coverage. This is Nashville Sports Original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And happy Wednesday, everyone. Happy Hump Day. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Don't forget, 6:20 tonight, pregame coverage with first pitch at 6:35. Braves baseball wrapping up this series with the Baltimore Orioles. And we'll get more into this game, but the big thing is the fact the return of Cole Hamels. And we'll see how this all plays out for the Braves tonight. If he can get it done, you start feeling a lot better about a run in the playoffs by the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who gets on the bump and gets it done for them, I mean, at this point, that's just what they need. So
are you by? I don't know if you've heard about this. So, you know, it's not like when we get to the playoffs, the Major League Baseball and the Players Association, so they've got this agreement. And so we're going to be talking about playoff bubbles. And we already know where the World Series is going to be as well. Do you know? Have you heard this?
No, I haven't stayed up on this yet.
The World Series is going to be in Arlington, Texas.
The new facility?
Yeah. And so that's what they have worked out as far as the postseason is going to be played at bubble sites. So, for example, the Braves, you know, you win the right to play host to whoever. Now this kind of totally changes everything because now the American League, National League, going to be in the playoff bubble.
It makes sense. Why you could have done this before. I kind of always wondered why they didn't, if they were worried about travel concerns. But you know, it makes sense that they're going to do that with limited teams, obviously, in the playoffs.
Well, the American League, by the way, the American League Championship Series. First of all, we get to the Division Series. So the National League Division Series will be played at Globe Life and Houston's Minute Maid Park. The American League Division Series will be in San Diego and at Dodger Stadium. The American League Championship Series will be in San Diego at Petco Park. So I guess they're like, well, we're not going to allow you to play in an American League park, so you got to play in a National League. And the National League Championship Series will be played at Globe Life. Hmm. So that's how they got this worked out. And then, by the way, the World Series will once again be in Arlington.
You think? Well, I guess since it's going to be a bubble, there's no chance of any fans.
You know, you're not really... I'm not expecting it. You might have, what, family members, maybe, but that might be it. But yeah, Globe Life, by the way, in case you don't know, that's in Arlington. So that's how this all works out.
I'm trying to think because, you know, the news coming out with Nashville here that in October, Titans can expect fans there.
Don't know how many.
Don't know how many yet, but it's, I'm assuming Texas probably isn't far away from making that same kind of distinction.
Well, the problem, though, and, you know, I know it's not being, I think everybody has probably had it, you know, just thinking about COVID-19. We're still in the U.S. averaging over 1,000 deaths a day. Hmm. I mean, let that number sink in. I mean, we don't have anything under control, by the way.
Well, besides that, though, I mean, even if whatever numbers you want to put out, we see that there's still fans going back to stadiums and that sort of thing. So it's, I think with those questions out there, you wonder if, does it matter? I mean, well, does it matter to what the fans and the sporting venues, not venues, but sorry, sporting leagues are thinking about it?
Well, that's like George was bringing up, and I saw this too, and I'm going, what? You know, Ed Orgeron, just throwing it out there, you know, because here's the SEC kicking off next Saturday. We get the news that the Big Ten is now going to start at the latter part of October. But the new here's Ed Orgeron saying, yeah, it's not going to give you the list or anything, but basically everybody's had it on our team.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for just a second.
Yeah.
Everybody has had it on our team.
And I'm assuming they're the, what's the word? I'm like, asymptomatic group. Nobody really had any. Nothing came out that was serious enough that they thought, oh, they're not going to play. You've had people opt out, obviously. But And for the most part, we've seen now that, you know, the testing and everything, it can show that you have it. It can show that you have it, and you would have no idea. So, I mean, it's not that surprising, especially from college kids, right?
Well, and look, we go back to the fact that now that the Big Ten is going to try to play football,
which is, you know, to that point to what we're talking about,
But no, but remember, remember they were getting hit with a report about the complications. If you get it, you know, it could really give you some major, you know, future, I mean, permanent kind of heart condition, right?
Well, where did their care go then?
But then remember, also, just before they made their vote, the football player from Indiana who was in perfect health, you know, latter part of July, he gets it. He's in the IR for what? He was in intensive care for 2 weeks, had and then complications with as far as from a lung situation. So, and that was basically breaking when they were trying to decide whether or not to play football or not.
Well, that's I understand, but what has changed from then to now for them?
Well, they're watching other, you know, go at it right now.
Exactly.
And, you know, and once again, we get back down to the this will. I mean, I know it's we can still try to be optimistic about it, but it only takes one major case where a thing gets shut down.
Right. No, I agree. I think one death of any player, which nobody wants, not only not just college football, not, I'm talking anything, any sport, is going to throw a wrench in everybody's plans, whether it's in the same sport or not.
I mean, and I go back to the fact that we do not have anything under control. Right now the numbers are just running rampant, and the funny thing is, you look at other countries and they've got things under control. We do not have things. If you're losing 1,000 people per day to this, you don't have anything under control.
But it still goes back to the Big Ten. Just they've made this choice solely on the fact of money. I feel like that's what we can
it's
say.
It's absolutely money.
Even though they won't say it.
And you get the pressure like from Ohio State because they know that their most talented players are going to opt out mm-hmm. because of the draft. And so this was all about money. And the reason why, by the way, the Pac-12, because I don't think this has really been brought up, the reason why the Pac-12, and they are actually a conference with a number in their name that actually has 12 teams. I think that's important to bring up too. Because Big 12 has 10.
It's not fitting.
The Big 10 has 14. But at least the Pac-12 has, last time I checked, they have 12 teams. They used to be the Pac-8 when they had 8. Now they're the Pac-12. They got 12. But the big reason why we do not have Pac-12 making an announcement similar to the one today with the Big 10, do you know what it is?
No.
The fact that 4 teams in the state of California cannot play football.
That's
USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal, none of them are allowed to play football, and that is one third. That means you would definitely have a Pac-8 if you wanted to move forward. And so that is the reason why you're not hearing any announcements about the Pac-12 moving forward at this point.
Well, you know, too, put COVID aside for them right now, because I don't think, even if they were in, say everything was regular season right now, everything was completely normal, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be able to play right now. Well, the air quality's so bad.
Seattle's game is in dire straits right now,
right.
As far as the NFL game coming up for week 2 for Seattle. So that's in question. I mean, you're talking about the entire West Coast, so the state of Washington, Oregon, the state of California, and then moving over to the states adjoining them as well, all with major complications now to all these wildfires.
Even people in southern LA, SoCal, they're saying that just walking around breathing is hurting the back of their throat. Just being outside. They're not even, you know, they're hundreds of thousands of miles away, I think. They're far from where they are.
Are you as cautious as you need to be?
What do you mean?
Well, still with COVID-19 when you're out.
I follow all the social parameters.
So you have the mask?
Mm-hmm.
You do all the things you're supposed to be doing?
But, you know, it's like what distance are we all going to, though? Because I don't wear gloves when I'm at the gas station.
Oh, no, I have the disposable gloves.
You have disposable gloves?
Although they're the wrong size, and so they...
You're OJ in it?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's happening. Somehow the box got mixed up, and it's like, well, that's what I have in the car, so I'm good. It's not like I have to, you know, put gas in the car every other day right now.
Right.
And what do I always keep handy?
You got a little hand sanitizer.
I got the scented kind, too.
Scented.
Like this one, Midnight for Men.
No fragrance is allowed in the Williams household. The wife will not have it. Very cancer-causing is those fragrances.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it says fragrance, look, that's a little hint. If it says fragrance on the back, like the ingredients or anything, just the word fragrance, it's not good.
I don't think this... only thing this says is antibacterial.
Yeah, gel. I don't know if they put, like, ingredients
on
there.
It's a gel, by the way.
Ooh. yummy.
So that's where we stand. I mean, about Cole Hamels, though. And this probably got into one of these conversations. I mean, they're never going to really publicly talk about it. But when you have paid as much as the Braves did for this guy, and now here we are in the Braves when you're starting to think about the magic number of wrapping up the East. Look, I'm glad he's pitching. You know, the Braves didn't really, I mean, Tommy Malone, that was your answer to improve a starting rotation before the trade deadline at the end of August. So, look, I'm glad he's out there. You know, the Braves would probably have loved to have had the insurance money from him. I understand that. I'm glad he's out there. And if the left-hander can do something about it, because remember what his contract was. 1 year, $18 million this year. And I agree with what George Plaster said, too. I do not believe that these two teams will... I don't believe that the Braves and Hamels will be on the same page moving forward after this. But what if... What if all of a sudden he joins this team? Remember when the Braves acquired John Smoltz from the Detroit Tigers, they traded away Adolis Alexander to help the Detroit Tigers down the stretch. He went unbeaten the rest of the way.
Mm.
What happens if Cole Hamels takes over, pitches like the reason why he's getting paid $18 million this year, and all of a sudden he becomes the Cole Hamels of old and leads the Braves to a World Series title?
Well, then you got to, I mean, if they win a World Series with them, then you got to try to pay. But, I mean, this happened with the Royals in 2015 when they won with Cueto. Johnny Cueto was a huge part of that Royals rotation that they were able to win some big games under him throwing, but they didn't keep him around the next year, and he went on, signed a bigger deal elsewhere. But just because, I guess, that pitcher fluidity happens so easily. But, yeah, if he comes out and he's averaging one, you know, ERA of one or lower, and he's striking out. He's getting five strikeouts a game. It's like, all right, now we're going to – you got to make a decision here, because it's not like you'll have so much depth there right now. You have injuries that can come back, and you'll have some depth, but I would want to keep him around if he's playing like that.
You know, the interesting thing about him, you know, when we think about Cole Hamels and his success, because first thing you hear that name, you think, ah, he's a pretty successful pitcher in major leagues, right? The thing is really strange about him – he had six consecutive double-digit win seasons from 2007 to 2012. And then he had four or so lean years. And then he had, once again, back-to-back double-digit win seasons in 2016 and 17. So which Cole Hamels are the Braves going to get? I mean, are they going to get the guy that was so red-hot for the Phillies back in the first decade of the 21st century? Or are they going to get the variety of, you know, winning seven games or four games or five games? That was his win totals. You know, when you think back, well, nine wins in 2018, because he had five with Texas, four with the Cubs, had seven with the Cubs last year. So seven wins last year, nine wins two seasons ago. And then he had the double digit win seasons.
What's the realistic expectation for him coming out tonight? I mean, what do you think the Braves are looking at it saying, this is what we hope we get, and we think this is possible? Because they're starting him, so they think there's something there, obviously, that they can use.
Well, I mean, even last year, 7-7, a 3.81 earned run average. Now, you go back just two seasons ago, he started 12 games for the Cubs. He had a 2.36 earned run average. His career ERA is 3.42. So let's say he allows an earned run average right around 3. If he can do that and, you know, win two out of every three starts, would you not be happy at this point?
I would think so. I would think for the Braves, getting any wins right now is great. Well, going into the playoffs.
Well, look, the Braves are winning. I mean, there's a reason why they have a magic number now, and they're getting ready to celebrate yet another, would be their third straight division title.
Well, they're winning, but when they lose, they do it in a large fashion.
They do it in style. All right, last night, I know you guys touched on this a little bit. Fascinated by Denver. And the Nuggets, in not once, twice now, back-to-back series where they were down 3-1 and found ways to get it done and end these series. So they were facing elimination three times in both of the last two matchups and were able to get it done, including bringing down the Clippers last night.
This is like the NBA equivalent of what the Chiefs did in the playoffs, where they had to go down by 10 before they would win a game. They always were going down, and then they ended up coming back up.
And look, major thumbs up, and you know, because everybody just assumed that the Clippers are going to get it done. It's going to be LA versus LA. I'm glad it's Denver. You know, nobody had Denver in this situation and penciled them in. I love this.
Well, it gives you somebody to cheer for too. You know, an underdog story.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's like, I go back to, am I engaged? No. I'm one of the reasons why you look at the sporting events last week and the top five were all NFL games.
Right.
And this is going to change, too. When the SEC kicks off next weekend, you'll start seeing a little flavor of the SEC in there as far as college football. I'm that. You know, as far as the NBA, it's just out of season. So do I care about the NHL right now? No. Do I care about the NBA right now? No. Now, if it comes down to a final game, game seven in the NBA finals, and say it's Boston and the Lakers, am I tuning in? Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be good. But
right now, no, I'm sorry. You know, my attention is elsewhere.
If it wasn't in a bubble, though, I think I would be paying much more attention if it was LA and LA, just because to see how the fan attendance was, and there's no home court advantage or anything. You don't have to. All the players can stay there for seven games. They don't have to go far. They're going to be playing right in the same stadium. So, but since it's in the bubble and everything, there's no fans. I don't know. It would have lost my attention anyway. But yeah, I mean, Joker's been playing amazing, and it's
he had a triple double by three quarters.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't need the four quarters. He was already there.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And I wonder if Doc Rivers, you know, if his job's in jeopardy there in L.A.
How about the block, by the way?
Top three block of all time, I think, in playoffs. Other than, I think, the only one that slightly edges it out is Andre Iguodala going up and LeBron on the chase down, smacking it against the glass in the finals. But
you got to like a name Bam, too, because he certainly put a Bam in that
He put
win.
The Batman sound effect up there.
A nice win for Miami, so they take their game one
Miami's
of their
real.
Series.
Well, yeah, so. we're all focusing on that Western, but Miami, that team, they can shoot. And former Kentucky player Tyler Hero has been playing pretty good basketball, being one of those that group that's able to shoot so well. And then, of course, you got Jimmy Buckets out there as well, always putting up a show. I love that Miami team. I'm so glad to see the Heat back in it.
I like the fact, too, you know, in that situation, I mean, how often do you see an official, you know, think what's going to happen before it actually does and never does? And I'm glad he did not call a foul in that situation, because if you didn't see it in overtime, here's Miami winning it, and they win it with a Bam. You want to try it? Adebayo? Is that good enough? Adebayo?
I think it's Adebayo.
Either way.
It's like a little Adebayo.
So Bam and his block there to seal the victory. A lot of times you'll get a foul on that, because officials are thinking they see the slap on the wrist or whatever when it's not really there.
That was about as clean of a block as you can get.
That was good.
And I bet you his hand hurts, because if you watch it, his hand goes up against that rim too. So he as Tatum's coming in to slam it as hard as he can, his hand's what's in between that rim and the ball.
A win like that makes that hand
feel, it feels good.
Very good.
Just put a little ice on it. We'll talk about it later.
All right, coming up, Patrick Murphy. He covers Ohio State in the Big Ten for Bucknuts.com, part of the 24/7 family. He'll be joining us to talk about the decision today. Barton Simmons joins us just after 5. He is with CBSSports.com and 24/7 Sports as well. And then finally, around 5:35, Barry Wilner will be a part of the show. He's with the Associated Press up in New York. Hey, by the way, speaking of college football, how about Brad Nessler? He'll be on the show tomorrow, right around 4:30 or so, the play-by-play voice of the SEC on CBS. We're a week out, and so I thought I would reach out, because I know next week's going to be pretty busy for Brad.
Tends to be.
A little bit about
that. Got
to
make the charts and everything, you know?
I'll be interested to see what it's been like, because I remember visiting with him early on with, you know, when we shut down, and I think this was back in April, to see mentally where he is today compared to our conversation a few months back. But open segment, if you want to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's picked up quite a bit, actually, here on 24 westbound. As you pass James Robertson Parkway, there's a couple of accidents out here. One with injuries over in Madison just happened. 1200 block of Gallatin Pike. Still working that crash at the intersection of Wedgwood and 12th. Wrapping up an earlier wreck, it was 24 westbound there at Shelby. It's over to the right-hand side. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition, Sleep with the Sharks. It's back this weekend. Check it out at RipleyAquariumOfTheSmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
NFL Votes is a league-wide initiative to support and encourage voter education, registration, and activation efforts of players, clubs, and fans from now up until Election Day. Inspired by ongoing conversations with players, the NFL launched NFL Votes to empower and improve our communities through exercising the right to vote. Join the NFL family by registering to vote today and make your voice heard this November. Visit NFL.com/votes to learn more.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration reminds all listeners that last year over 50% of our children were bullied or teased. This daily ritual leaves them in despair, feeling like there's no way out. Be someone that a child can go to for help, and let's stop the intimidation now. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area. Specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, wishing our kids a safe and happy school year.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. We'll be riding high until 6 tonight, and then around 6:20 we'll... A Braves baseball with the Braves Network coming your way with the pregame coverage, 6:35 as far as first pitch tonight. And the more and more I delve into Cole Hamels, you know, career stats, you know, I'm thinking they really paid him $18 million.
So are you starting to get a little nervous about this game coming up?
I'm thinking not
You're
really.
Talking yourself out of it a little
I'm
bit?
I'm not really talking myself out of it. I'm thinking more along the lines of the Braves need, you know, Ian Anderson to go along with Max Fried. Kyle Wright needs to keep doing what he's, you know, improving like he did last time out, and need one of these younger arms to step up. How about that?
I mean, yeah, all of it. All of it and then some, I think.
I'm not... The more and more I think about Cole Hamels, the more I'm thinking, boy, he has a really good agent. Because, you know, the last 2 years don't necessarily merit $18 million.
No. Not a lot merits $18 million, honestly. Guaranteed.
Yeah, that certainly is not there. All right, so week two of the NFL. Oh, I know you're on the edge of your seat for tomorrow night. Oh. You know, if you're trying to get, like, here's the thing.
The Battle of Cincinnati, or Battle of Ohio, you mean?
If you're trying to promote, like, NFL TV ratings and things like that, you don't want to be judging it upon this matchup, as we got the battle of former, you know, Heisman Trophy winners, as... Joe Burrow, and then maybe that's one reason to watch with the Bengals, that he's out there and going up against Baker Mayfield.
It was like the NFL really was hoping that the Browns would be the Browns that everybody thought they were going to be 2 years ago, and they were like, okay, maybe this year they'll do it. OBJ's on the team.
Do you believe everybody was buying into that? Remember, they were one of the most talked about teams, one of the five or six talked about teams to begin 2019. This was just 12 months ago.
People were saying they were going to win the Super Bowl.
They were getting those kind of predictions.
Yeah. It was crazy. And then the Titans walked in and punched them in the mouth week one.
Yeah, they so did not live up to that billing. Here's the thing, too. So we get that, and then we'll cap things off on Monday night with, and I'm interested to see what the stadium looks like inside, but the Saints will be on the road Monday night to take on Las Vegas. The Saints, it looks like they're going to be without the services of Michael Thomas. I don't know if you caught that game on Sunday, but, you know, the latter part of that game in the second half, Michael Thomas gets rolled up on and looks like he's having ankle issues where he may miss not only Monday night, he may miss a couple of games where they're actually debating whether or not to put him on the IR.
Yeah, the reports are saying several weeks is what he's going to miss. So it's next man up for Emmanuel Sanders.
And look, that's you think about that acquisition, and I think that is like a major thumbs up for what the Saints were able to do because he's a solid wide receiver. He's not Michael Thomas, but he's very solid.
He's never been bad. He's always been a consistent guy. He's even been on bad teams, and he's still been pretty consistent.
And Vegas, look, the Raiders are for. I love Josh Jacobs. I love what he's able to do. So that, I mean, he's a major performer. One of the reasons why Las Vegas, the Raiders. I'm having to like reprogram the mind and not go Oakland.
I still say San Diego or even LA.
But Josh Jacobs in Vegas getting it done against Carolina on Sunday, finishing the game. The Titans, by the way, we know they'll be in town here a noon start as they take on Jacksonville. No big surprise that Tennessee is 1-0. I think the big surprise is the fact that Jacksonville is 1-0. And then all of a sudden you think about pressure. Pressure now is certainly going to be on Indianapolis and Phillip Rivers, you know, how they respond with that loss to Jacksonville. Now, at least they're at home coming up on Sunday, but they also get Minnesota. One of these teams is going to be 0-2 to begin the year. Because remember, Minnesota got spanked pretty good by Green Bay last Sunday.
For the Colts, they get like the 1 or 2 weeks of new quarterback. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to mesh. So after that, though, you know, if they're still losing, then a lot of us were wrong because a lot of people had the Colts picked to be one of the tougher teams in the AFC South. But if they go week 3, week 4, and there's still troubles, then I'm pushing them all the way down near the bottom because obviously Jacksonville's a better team.
How about this? Atlanta at Dallas on Sunday at noon. One of those teams going to be 0-2. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about you don't want to dig yourself a hole, you know, this early because, you know, you may lose, you know, a game down the road because a player or two could be out because of COVID-19. These are games you better take advantage of and win now.
If I was a betting man, I would probably say it's probably going to be Atlanta that's going to end 0-2 next week.
I love the weapons. Todd Gurley, their Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones.
Their offense, we love it. Their defense is terrible.
Let's start off with Mike in Melrose. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Hey, Johnny, when you were talking about wearing gloves, were you talking about wearing those old batting gloves you used to wear when we pulled the tarp?
Yeah, those things probably, you know, I go back and remember what it would be like using those to pull the tarp. I think they last about the same amount of time as how the gloves I used to, you know, pump the gas with the ones. I think, you know, we're not talking about longevity here. I don't think batting gloves that were the giveaways were designed to pull tarps. I really don't think that were part of the, because we all had them. You know, we all had our little, you know, we'd be, you know, have the dress shirt and the pants, and then a matter of seconds, we'd be in our tarp pulling clothes, swim trunks, and the batting gloves.
Yeah, I do not miss those days at all. When it starts with lightning and thunder, and you got to run out there and it gets stuck in the mud. Hey, are they not playing the Mariners? They not playing because of the smoke out there?
That's exactly why. Yeah, because of the air quality, that's why they're not playing.
I think they were going to try to play in San Francisco today, but I saw where one of those is already postponed.
And something to watch out for, because right now the Seahawks, they're slated to play New England coming up on Sunday night. They're going to be the Sunday night game, and so that's another, you know, game to be paying attention to see if they get moved somewhere.
Hey, back to your Braves real quick. I brought this up to George yesterday.
I heard you, we talked about this. I so wanted Mike Minor before the trade deadline. He was the answer.
Well, I don't know what the holdup was, if his money problem or he's going to be a free agent or what if they even tried to go after him. But yeah, it seemed like he might have been a pretty good fit from what they're going through, especially the way Tookie Toussaint pitched the other night.
Yeah, and I understand Tookie Toussaint because he has the stuff, so he just can't seem to put it together. I mean, look, Kyle Wright, it looks like he is figuring it out, and I hope that he continues. So maybe eventually when you got that kind of talent, the light bulb goes off. Kyle Wright, if he can put together another outing like he did the last time, maybe everything is coming together for Kyle Wright, and that would be a major plus for the Braves down the stretch.
I hope so. Hey, last thing I got, a buddy of mine sent me an article from the Dallas Morning News today about should the Rangers tank, go ahead and tank, and get that number one pick to get a Kumar Rocker there. And he's supposed to go number one, and also, Leiter, there's a chance Leiter might go number two.
And they're both. I mean, you're talking about individuals with stuff and individuals that know how to actually pitch as well. I mean, there's a difference between throwers and pitchers, and both of them, I think, have the quality to be both.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Hey, appreciate it, buddy. All right, let's take Clay in Nashville. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Johnny.
Good afternoon, Clay.
I just found out a few minutes ago, I know this might have maybe taken place today, and this decision has been made, so the Big Ten is going to play
right,
what, third or fourth week of October?
That's what they're doing. And in fact, just like on December 19th, this conference championship week, what they're doing, everybody's going to be playing that day. So they'll have the championship game, but then everybody else breaking it down. So all 14 teams will actually be in action that day. The other ones are just like regular season kind of games.
Johnny, I wanted to get your thoughts on switching gears to Vanderbilt. I wanted to get your thoughts on, I've heard they've made a new hire, in the athletic department, a guy that's a major fundraiser and has raised a lot of money at Louisiana Tech for facilities and things like that. And I don't remember the man's name, but this is something obviously that needs to be done at Vanderbilt. Will it be done? I don't know. I certainly hope so. But, the last two or three months, have pretty much been, I'll say embarrassing, on West End about, the lack of commitment to be successful in athletics, specifically in men's basketball and football. Maybe this is, a light at the end of the tunnel where maybe eventually something is going to happen. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll see the end results. We're all going through, and athletic programs are no different. These are trying times and certainly not only going to be impacting the 2021 school year, but beyond as well. And so anytime you can bring talented individuals to be a part of your staff that can help your athletics program. And look, the number one thing for athletic programs, if you can bring in a money guy, somebody who knows things about marketing as well as fundraising. And, I saw some people were like, okay, why are you bringing some guy in? Isn't this a responsibility of an AD? And look, I had this role. It was a different title. I didn't have deputy in front of my name. My name was Associate Athletics Director for External Affairs, and I was in charge of marketing and media relations. But it's not uncommon for universities to have individuals in these roles. I think what is unique in this situation with Tommy McClellan, the individual we're talking about, is that he was the director of athletics at Louisiana Tech. So he goes from being an AD at La Tech to now being in this role for Vanderbilt. I think it's a major plus for Vanderbilt to get somebody with this kind of experience.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I did not know that he was their AD, but I would think that could, hopefully maybe only help. And but I think the key is to get some things done with facilities. They've got to convince the board, I think, that this is something that's got to be done if they're going to be competitive in the best conference in America.
Hey, appreciate your phone call, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, yeah, let's take one more before we go to break. Tony in Nolensville, good afternoon, sir.
What about you, Johnny Ballpark? Hello, Zach.
We're good today.
Yeah, Johnny, and everything's great. I tell you how good it is. I'm sitting on my back deck, smoking a cigar, having a little adult bourbon, and listening to the Johnny Ballpark show. It don't get much better than that. It's really a nice evening.
So I guess what we're saying is there's nice whiskey tasting going on Tony's back deck area, right?
Woodford Reserve, you know it is.
I love it.
And to cap it off, my wife is going to see some girls. She's having a dinner date tonight with some girlfriends. So, buddy, it is just bliss right now.
You have the remote. Hey, you're in charge of the remote. You have it. You have full control of the TV remote. What more do you want?
Which one are you talking about? The one for the TV, the radio, or the ceiling fan?
Very good points. All together there.
And I do have one for my chair, too.
Well, you know, too bad it's not like this weekend when you've got all the football viewing to go on, too, whether it's college football, NFL, whatever the case may be.
You're right. Hey, guys, I'm going to get you just input on this a little bit. You've been talking about all the stuff about the bubble and this, that, and other. I find it really crazy today. The Pac-12, they are saying their teams – those teams out there, they want them to be playing their games in Arizona. However, Major League Baseball is picking California as one of the sites to have a bubble.
Yeah,
that don't make no sense at all.
Yeah, Dodger Stadium is one of the locations, and San Diego as well for the American League. So that's.
And what kind of logic is that when the World Series is going to be playing at the same time the football
is? Well, and this is the reason why we're not talking Pac-12 is because, once again, if you've got one-third of your teams not able to play right now, USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Cal, plus if you talk about playing in a bubble, then it kind of like, you know, opens up that door once again. Are we talking about amateur athletics, or is this just like minor leagues for the NFL? And so you open up that other conversation that I don't think they really want to open up right now.
Guys, and just be honest, does the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have egg on their face right now?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's just they can't get enough of egg off their face. It's really a ridiculous situation what those two conferences have ended up doing.
Here's the thing, though. We say that right now, but, I mean, I go back to what I said earlier in this hour, is the fact that we're still in the U.S. averaging over 1,000 deaths a day.
Oh, true.
And so what happens? What happens if we lose a Nick Saban? Or what happens if we lose Trevor Lawrence? They die because they get COVID-19 and pass away.
Right.
I mean, now you'll think back and go, well, boy, the Pac-12 actually was the smartest group of the bunch.
Don't it blow your mind you turn on and watch Friday night football, high school football? These stadiums are packed, Johnny. They're packed.
Well, I know, for example, well, and the worst part about it, like in Tallahassee watching Florida State, Georgia Tech, there was supposed to be, you know, you had a reduced crowd allowed in there. You're supposed to have been promoting, and they were supposed to be, making sure the social distancing, the mask, nobody was doing that. And so Monday, they said, okay, we're going to start random testing everybody. If you're going to be that way, if you're not going to listen, not going to be adults about it, we will force things upon you.
And that's what's going to have to be done or something, because you want to ask these young people to have trust in the system, have trust in what we're supposed to be doing, be responsible. And they just still refuse to do it. And you see, other stadiums still don't have nobody. The protocol and the policy about this, it's all over the place. But you're right, Johnny and Zach, both of you. It's obviously, like everybody says, it's a crazy 2020. But there are still things people can still do to take care of themselves, protect your fellow man and woman, you know, female people, adult people, male people, anybody and everybody. Be responsible towards them as well as yourself, and there's a lot of people not doing it.
Hey, stay.
It's really sad.
Appreciate your phone call.
Thanks,
stay
guys.
Safe. We'll be in touch as always. All right. The other thing too, by the way, I don't know if you, it's, I got a friendly reminder about this. October 31st, that night, going into November 1st,
Halloween?
No, we get an extra hour. Not that we can. Can we just vote?
It's on a Saturday too.
I know. Can we just vote that we don't want the extra hour? Can we just say forget about it? I don't want to have come back at 2. You know, come back to 1 a.m.
Hey, I'm fine with that, especially on Halloween.
I do not want the extra hour this year.
Everybody's going to be a mess. It's Halloween.
I don't want the extra hour. All right, coming up, a chance to talk some Big Ten football with Patrick Murphy with Bucknuts.com, part of 24/7 sports family of websites. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic volume on the increase out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's picked up quite a bit now on 65 down into Brentwood. Hadley Avenue at OHB over in Old Hickory. We saw a wreck there a few minutes ago. Dickerson Pike at Homestead. Two cars are involved there. And it's really picked up 40 East, approaching a 40 out in Wilson County. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich and Collard Greens that are now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selections, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, they've got award-winning service, parts, and body shops on site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 online at nissanofrivergate.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Nashville's premier steakhouse is Bob's Steak and Chop House in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bob's Steak and Chop House was the first to bring A5 Wagyu beef to Music City. With a wine list to complement any meal, Bob's Steak and Chop House now has limited summer hours and seating. With the backdrop of Music City, call ahead and reserve your spot on the patio. Bob's Steak and Chop House, now with new limited summer hours and seating. Nashville's premier steakhouse, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown Music City.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a high near 84. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers again, mostly cloudy, with a low around 68. And Thursday, a 20% chance of showers again, partly sunny, with a high near 84. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Time to talk a little Big Ten college football with Patrick Murphy. Bucknuts.com is the site, part of the 24/7 family of websites. Patrick, always a pleasure, buddy. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a little bit of a different feel than the last time I was on.
Well, October 24th, that's the date right now, and I'll just tell you right now, it's going to be probably the longest 5 weeks to get to that point, because if you're a fan of, like, the SEC, we still have to wait another weekend before we kick off the season next week. And when you hear things like Ed Orgeron from LSU talking about the fact, well, I think when I start doing the numbers, I think everybody has attracted the, you know, COVID-19 virus at one point or another. That's a scary statement that he made earlier this week. Hopefully, we won't be talking about the same things with regards to the Big Ten.
Indeed. I think that's absolutely the goal. The Big Ten, despite not playing until, as you mentioned, October 24th, is going to start doing their daily rapid testing here at the end of this month as teams get back into regular practice. They are hoping to approve going back to the 20-hour work week practice as soon as tomorrow. We'll see when that actually happens. But the goal is to get guys back in the regular work and preparing for the regular season as soon as possible, and then get on the, I don't know if you call it routine, I guess, of the daily testing so that guys are ready for that and, you know, everyone's healthy as you get towards the start of this season.
So you'll play all your division opponents, and then each team will have two division crossover games as well. You know you already got the conspiracy theorist out there waiting to see what happens with Ohio State, wondering if they will play the toughest teams in the other division, or they get a break because somebody wants a Big Ten team in the college football playoff.
That's a good point, and I hadn't thought about that at this point with the craziness that was today. But, yeah, I mean, when Ohio State's second schedule, the revised one that came out on August 6th, they were playing Purdue and Nebraska and Illinois, and I'd have to check what the other one was. The Nebraska game was originally on the schedule from way back when the Big Ten actually released the schedule. So it wouldn't surprise me if they still stick with that. The Purdue game may also be another one that stays from a crossover perspective just because it's an easy trip. It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, obviously Ohio State will be tested. You'll play Penn State. You'll play Michigan. We'll see what Michigan State is this year under a new head coach and a lot of changes there. But, this year in general is just going to be very different. Obviously, only 8 games to prove yourself. It's just got a different feel about it. And fortunately, you know, it's football, and I think everyone's happy about that. But I do think people will have to realize this isn't going to look or feel like a normal Big Ten schedule. It's going to be, just a little topsy-turvy, I guess.
You know, the other part of it, too, as soon as this announcement came, everybody was saying, okay, what about the Pac-12? And it looks like the earliest the Pac-12 could play would be mid to late November. But the other part of it right now, you think, and the Big 12 actually, the Pac-12 does have 12 teams, unlike the Big 10, which has 14. But with the 12 teams, 6 of the 12 are not allowed to have any type of, practice, contact, anything. The 4 schools in California, along with Oregon and Oregon State. And so because of it, we don't know if the Pac-12 is going to be able to kick off as far as before the 21 year, as far as on the calendar.
Well, I saw a report a little while ago on Twitter, so take that for what it is, that the I believe it was the governor of California talked to Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott and there seems to be confusion about whether or not the teams in California can play. As soon as I saw that, I started thinking, well, the NFL teams in California are playing and the Major League Baseball teams in California are playing, so I'm not sure why the college teams, could not play in California, but I haven't dug into that, obviously, with what's been going on with the Big Ten today, but I think, you know, that's certainly an obstacle, and even if you have the 2 Oregon teams, if that's the case up there, it's certainly an obstacle, and I think you've started to hear more noise out of the Pac-12 all of a sudden, but there hasn't seemed to been the same, and you know, maybe I'm just out of touch with it given where I am and what I'm covering, but there hasn't been seemed to be the same fervor for Pac-12 football as there has been at some of these Big Ten schools. Not to say that that's the reason to get back into it. Obviously, the safety procedures and everything are important, and that has to be taken care of. But, I'm just wondering what the push is out west to play football as opposed to what it has been in the Midwest, what it would have been in SEC country had something been postponed down there. It just doesn't seem to be as much.
I mean, to answer, I'll go along the same lines as far as the bubble play that we're going to get in the Major League Baseball as far as the playoffs. San Diego is going to be the location for the American League Championship Series.
Right.
And Los Angeles is going to be the site for for the National League. I mean, so you're getting, when you think about these matchups here, it's like, okay, that's a little strange. But if you're able to do that in California, then why not football?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think it just seems to be – there seems to be confusion, and I don't know if the Pac-12 hasn't done its homework or if there was something that some of these professional leagues had to do to get approved. I'm at a loss on this one.
All right, your thoughts now how this impacts Ohio State, because, you know, I think we had this conversation before as well. If we were talking about kicking off early part of January – then Ohio State's football team would have looked a lot different than what it probably will look like now.
Agreed. The thought is that Ohio State's football team will now look more or less what it would have if none of this had happened and the teams had kicked off fall in the beginning of September as originally scheduled. Ohio State had two players opt out within the last week, right guard Wyatt Davis, who was an All-American last year, and cornerback Sean Wade, who was expected to be their top cornerback and a preseason All-American for some people. And both those guys could have declared for the draft after last season, decided to come back. They wanted to, you know, have a chance at a national championship, especially after the way last season ended with the loss to Clemson. They were both named captain in early August. And then, you know, with no resolution to this whole situation, you know, it had been over a month at that point, and it was, you know, they had to make a business decision. Well, a few days later, the Big Ten comes back with a season that would still allow them to compete and potentially play for that national championship and still have the chance to declare for the draft and go along the normal timeline. So there hasn't been any official announcement by either of these guys. Sean Wade was on ESPN earlier today. It's actually his birthday, and he said he's going to enjoy his birthday and then go from there and make a decision. Wyatt Davis actually put out a tweet right before we got on this call that he's working to try and play. He wants to play, but there's still some things he has to sort out. So it sounds like both of those guys want to be back, which is big news for Ohio State. And, you know, then you talk about some other guys that could have potentially opted out, Justin Fields being the main one. Well, he's been very strong about playing throughout this whole thing with the petition. Today he put out a few tweets, you know, excited about the decision and whatnot. So I don't imagine he goes anywhere. So it looks like you're going to have as close to a full-strength Ohio State team as we expected. Obviously, we don't know what will happen with COVID and whatnot, but at least to start the season, it sounds like the Buckeyes are going to be, you know, back at the level that we expected from a team that was preseason number two.
Bucknuts.com is the site. You can keep up with Patrick on Twitter at @Pat_Murphy. Always a pleasure, buddy. Have a great week and continue to stay safe.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you.
Thank you again. That's Patrick Murphy with Bucknuts.com. And by the way, a correction, the American League Division Series, San Diego and at Dodger Stadium. And then the American League Championship Series will be in San Diego, while the National League Championship Series will be in Arlington, in Texas. All right, coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Watching it pick up quite a bit, actually, here in the last few minutes on the South Loop, the West Loop, 65 making your way down into Brentwood through Williamson County. There's a few accidents out here. One there at Hadley at OHB, still getting some attention, starting to get very busy, passing the airport on I-40 East, continuing out into Wilson County. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Martin Truex Jr. finished second this past weekend at Richmond and has become a short track threat in recent years.
You know, a deal where we got to working on certain things and, you know, trying to get the car to do certain things that I like it to do. And obviously at Furniture Row, it kind of began, and being able to go to JGR with, you know, basically the same race cars and a lot of the same people and just continue really to work in those same directions in those same areas. So, you know, I think, you know, short tracks are places that are very unique, and, you know, things that have worked in the past, typically you can carry through and use them for seasons. So just the things that we've been working on, you know, for me particularly, I guess, not only the way I drive, my style, but, you know, making the car complement that, and obviously, you know, great team and great race car. So it's really just a matter of putting all the pieces together and continuing to refine on them over the years.
And Martin's thoughts on his recent run-in with Chase Elliott back at Darlington.
You know, it was obviously really close. You know, it was pretty much going to be, you know, the pass for the win in my eyes. You know, I feel like in that moment, we both made a split-second decision and tried to kind of anticipate or think what the other would do. And I think we both guessed wrong, to be honest with you. So, yeah, just, you know, really close, obviously. Nobody's fault. I don't think you can really, you know, pin the blame on one guy. Just, you know, kind of racing deal is unfortunate for both of our teams.
TheFinalLap.com.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Oh, hi. Okay, guess we should talk about something. Kind of tough to be put on the spot. Not sure what to say. But I know what I'm definitely not talking about. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big!
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. Free timeless hits, free award-winning flicks.
All right, coming up in hour number two, Barton Simmons joins us, a national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also director of scouting with 24/7 Sports. Around 5:35, we'll talk week two with Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. As a reminder, game three of this three-game set between the Braves and Baltimore, big storyline tonight for Atlanta. The big acquisition from over the offseason, finally getting a start for the Braves tonight. The left-hander veteran Cole Hamels on the mound tonight for the Bravos. Once again, 6:20 tonight for pregame coverage, 6:35 for first pitch. All that coming up tonight. As always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. Hour number two on the way. Stay with us, everybody.